Hey, we got a lot to go over today. I got a very special guest in the studio, Dr. Robert Morgan, who is an author, pastor, and caregiver. Not just a author. I mean, you know, I've authored a book. He's authored like 45 and has actually sold a lot of books. He's like best-selling author. I, on the other hand, have written a book or two, but he is like, wow. And we're going to get to him in just a minute. You know how I like to start off with a quote, and I heard a great one this week for caregivers.
Now, prove
here,
it.
Here to prove it. And I shall. Now, think this through. And Rob, you can jump in on this, even though I haven't given you your formal introduction yet, but you can always jump in. But I heard this quote. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are.
Interesting. I like it.
And so I thought, you know, as caregivers, this is what's going on with us. We are projecting things that are troubling our own heart or unsettling our heart or whatever. But we're looking at it through that lens, and it robs us or compromises us or impairs us in some way of accepting things the way they are.
Absolutely. We're very good at projecting our own contexts onto others.
Well, and guess what? When we don't accept reality, we've got a couple of problems.
Well.
and you know, reality, as I say in my book, reality is a tough companion, but it's an honest friend. And once we start having that honest conversation, okay, this is where it is. This is what's going on. Now we can have a healthier plan to put in place.
And a more productive one.
And we can grieve about it. We will grieve. I mean, but I would rather grieve with healthy tears than grieve with clenched fist. And I've done both. And it's not cool. So anyway, that's the quote for today. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. But you know what? Together, we're all going to do this on this show, and we're going to learn to see the world as it is together. See, caregivers struggle with that isolation. That's one of the three I's: loss of independence, loss of identity, and isolation. And in that isolation, we start getting our vision skewed. But when we come together through this show and through other things that we do by reaching out and connecting, then we start seeing things a little bit more clearly. And that's what my goal is for you as a caregiver. When you give me an hour of time here on this show, at the end of this time, I want you to be able to feel a little bit more strengthened with practical tools. I want to point you to a source of hope that will not disappoint. And I want you to lift your head a little bit more, and your heart will be lighter. That's how we know we've done a good job on this show. And that's what we all need as caregivers. I'm right there with you. I am the crash test dummy of caregivers, and I get this. So, all right, look, we got a lot to go over today. Robert Morgan. Now, here's the deal, Robert. And we don't stand on formality here.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I am just thrilled. You've been over at Donaldson Fellowship for?
37 years.
37 years. You are the teaching pastor.
I am, yes. Until last year, I was the senior pastor, and I moved over to a teaching pastor position and let go of some of the administrative responsibilities. But I'm still there causing trouble and doing my best.
Well, you do a great job over there. But Gracie and I sang over there many years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
It was like a Valentine's event or something.
Yes, it was wonderful. You guys are so gifted and so giving.
Well, thank you. And we had a great time. And we have a lot in common. John, Robert was born in Elizabethton, Tennessee. My wife was born in Elizabethton, Tennessee.
I knew there was a connection there.
And then Robert, you went to what was then Columbia Bible College.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Columbia, now it's Columbia
National University.
Well, I went to Columbia Bible College. Now, here's where two roads diverge here, because he graduated from there and then went back years later where was presented with a doctorate of divinity. I, on the other hand, left there somewhat prematurely. because I remember, and this will mean very little to anybody listening, and I'm sorry, but Buck Hatch.
Yeah.
And I sat down and had a conversation, and I shared with him, look, I'm here at a Bible college. And he said, well, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I like to play music. I mean, I'm a musician. I've been doing it since I was five. He said, well, maybe you need to look at a place where you can study music more and do that. And we had a long conversation, and then I ended up coming up here to Belmont, and that's where I got my degree. And I treasure those times down at Columbia. And I regret that I was not a better student. You know, I graduated, thank you, Lottie, anyway.
Well, you know, Buck Hatch was the best professor I ever had. I took every course he had, and now they're online. You know, he's dead now, but so I still go back and watch the online lectures that I heard 40 years ago, 45 years ago when I was there.
You, not only a prolific author, here's the other thing, and some of you all may know Robert's stuff without realizing it, because he's got this treasure books of hymns where he has gone and he put the hymn on one side of the page, actual music from the hymnal, and on the other side, he tells the story behind the hymn. And I've used this a lot when I play at church and so forth. And when I just sit down and play myself, I just look at this story behind it because that gives such text to this. What, before we get into your new project and talk about you as a caregiver, what drove you to that?
Yeah, the books are called Then Sings My Soul. It's a trilogy, Then Sings My Soul, Then Sings My Soul Book 2, and Then Sings My Soul Book 3. So there are three volumes that tell the stories behind our hymnody, our hymns, the great songs that we love, including some of the more recent songs, but especially the great treasure trove of hymns, which I love. I grew up in a church in Elizabethton that sang the gospel songs like Fanny Crosby's Blessed Assurance, and occasionally we would do something a little bit more majestic like Holy, 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 or Come Thou Almighty King. When I transferred as a sophomore to Columbia International University, I became acquainted with the great majestic hymns of English hymnody and the German hymns, you know, many of the great and wonderful hymns that I should have known before then. And I just fell in love with them all because the hymn book is a miniature theology book intended to be sung, and it ministers to us in little singable capsules of praise that have embedded within them the great doctrinal truths, the theological truths that sustain us. And I'm sort of an armchair historian. I'm not a classically trained historian, but I would search out the stories behind the hymnists and the hymns, and some of them are very wonderful, moving, and dramatic. And so we put this book together for Thomas Nelson back many years ago with 150 hymns with the stories on the other side. It's still in print. Then we did volume two, and then we finally did book three. And it seems to have met a real need. You know, people don't want to lose the hymns, Peter. Now, I love the new music. And so I'm not being critical at all of new music, but we are on the verge of being the first generation in all of Christian hymnody that totally loses our musical heritage, which goes back to Exodus chapter 15, the first recorded hymn on the shores of the Red Sea.
Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the
sea. Yes, that is the first
recorded
hymn.
John, do you have applause meter, John? That was...
I am so impressed.
Thank you very much.
This is
you've either read the Bible or you've read my book. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, both.
Yes, I certainly hope both. But, you know, you can go to a lot of churches now and never hear a hymn. They've just been suddenly lost within 10 years. But the great hymns minister to me. And in our church, we combine the new and the old. But I keep a hymn book at my desk. I have a little upstairs desk in a spare bedroom, and almost every day during my devotions, I will turn to some hymn and read it or listen to it on my iPhone or sing it. Very often recently, Peter, you know the old hymn that says, I need thee every hour, I need thee, oh, I need thee,
it's on my CD.
Well, I just keep, that has become a prayer of mine. So I think that for caregivers, for all of us, the great hymns of the faith are a source of real strength.
Now, you're not a musician.
I am not, no. I've tried for years. I took piano from the time I was a small child until I was in college and could never play the first song. It was a total waste of money. I tried and tried, but I couldn't do it. But, you know, one thing that I'm thankful for, I was mentored using Campus Crusade for Christ material that had been developed by Bill Bright. And Bill's wife, and so I just, you know, I just had such high esteem for that man, whom I never met. But his wife, Annette, told me that as he was dying, that his family gathered around with my book, Then Sings My Soul, and would read the stories to him and would sing the songs around his deathbed. And that was what comforted him in his last days. And that just meant so very much to me. And so many people tell me in nursing homes or with Alzheimer's patients, that it's the hymns that will reach back through the memories, through the years, through the time, and will touch people. I've had so many stories, so many letters along those lines. And so I think one of the great tools for, at least for me as a caregiver, that keeps me sane and strong, it has to do with the heritage of our Christian music and with the Christian hymns.
You know, they'll say, and I've been in this situation in nursing homes when I've watched them staring out the window listlessly, but then you'll start singing the songs. And for me, I learned how to read music before looking at a hymnal with my mom holding it, before I could ever see the words. I didn't understand what the words, but I could see the notes and the staves there. And that's how I learned music. And you're right. This is a great treasure trove. This is Dr. Robert Morgan is with us, just a prolific author, pastor, caregiver, and a wonderful, wonderful man of insight. And he understands the journey. He's been doing it a long time. And we've got more to go. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver, and we're glad you're with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for family caregivers. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. And we're here with Dr. Robert Morgan. He has written a new book called Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. Now, this is your 45th book?
Oh, I don't know how many.
John, I told you he's prolific, John. I mean, prolific author. I mean, I've got my little dog and pony show, and then this guy shows up, and I'm like, dude, but this book is you know, I've read some of your books, and I've come to really treasure your writing style because you do take the complex and make it simple, and I know how much work you put into it, and yet your writing style is so gentle, it's so relaxed, it's easy to read, it's easy to follow, and that's a big thing because when people start saying Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, that's a handful of a title. It's a little bit scary to some people, isn't it?
It is. It's a long title, but it really is an important title. We have got to regain our technique of biblical meditation. To me, and I'm a caregiver, as you know, my wife.
27 years?
Well, about 27 years. Yeah, my wife, Katrina, has multiple sclerosis. She's wheelchair-bound. And we need all the help we can get for her and for me in terms of keeping ourselves mentally fresh and spiritually strong and not becoming discouraged, not becoming angry. I mean, we do all of those things, but you have to know how to work your way out of it and how to stay healthy. And to me, the most powerful tools that I've found personally are memorization and meditation of Scripture. Now, you don't have to memorize Bible verses to meditate on them. You can just open your Bible and look at them and read them, but it really does help. But, Peter, what has happened is that the world, our secular society, has kidnapped this concept of meditation. And to most of the people in the world, meditation is a very useful technique of deep breathing and relaxation and emptying your mind. And there is something important about deep breathing and relaxation. But instead of emptying my mind or just focusing on some phrase or word, to take the words of Scripture and learn them and repeat them over and over again. And I've learned when I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, as I go through the day, as I drive in my car, as I'm shaving, whatever as I'm doing, if I can let Scripture be circulating in my mind all the time like water through a fountain or like oil through a machine, it keeps my mind functioning well. And so like yesterday morning, I woke up a little earlier than I wanted to, and I went to the living room and sit down, the lazy boy. And I didn't want to turn on the TV because the news was on and it's not worth watching, but I also didn't want to wake anybody up. So I just leaned back and I started quoting Scriptures. And for about 20 minutes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I just quoted and recited those Scriptures to myself, and I don't think there's a better way in this world to get started on a fresh day than by meditating on Scripture. And so when you have Scripture in your mind and in your heart, then you can take it with you all the time. You can quote it to other people. It's amazing how it comes up in conversations when you need it the most. And when you wake up in the middle of the night, if you let your mind instantly start going to some scripture, because I don't sleep well. And sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be alarmed or anxious. I battle with anxiety. And
you're a caregiver. You're a multi-decade caregiver. Of course you're going to battle with anxiety.
Well, and it's not just caregiving. I think when you are a caregiver, as you know, so many other you become vulnerable to so many other things as well, because you're also a homemaker in ways that you wouldn't normally be. You're also a grocery shopper. You're also the cook. You're also, you know, have an outsized job of being a parent or a grandparent if you have kids. So all of those things crowd into your mind, and it can keep you up all night. But I've learned when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm alarmed about something, just to begin saying, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And quoting Psalm 121 or whatever it is. And, you know, it is therapeutic to my emotions, and I'm always able to relax and go back to sleep. If I let some worry take over my mind, then I may not sleep the rest of the night. But if I can just instantly shove aside the worries by quoting and meditating on Scripture, then somehow I have peace and able to go back to sleep. And you know the verse that says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That is what I feel like when I'm memorizing Scripture.
You know, one of the things I say on this show when I speak a lot is sleep ain't rest. They're two different things here. And we will eventually sleep just because our bodies cry out for it. But we're not resting. And we're so keyed up as caregivers. And we caregivers don't really deal with anything that anybody else does, except we just deal with it relentlessly. We don't really get a break from it. And so it's we stay churned in our hearts. Those are hard things to push back on, and this is a great tool to. And I think we're going to get in this next segment here, but I think when people hear this, the biblical meditation, they think they got to go out and memorize these vast passages of Scripture. One of the things that you do in here is so easy. You just take it in little tiny snippets. I mean, just one phrase, put it on a post-it note, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. We start with just a phrase. And I know that everybody who is not mentally diseased can memorize Scripture. My son-in-law's father-in-law was 95 years old, or his grandfather. My son-in-law's grandfather was 95 years old, and I have a book called 100 Bible Verses Everyone on Earth Should Memorize. He memorized, at age 95, all 100 of those verses. And it is so therapeutic for us to continue memorizing Scripture, but I just begin with one phrase at a time. I have a little notebook, and I'll find a verse or a passage I want to memorize, and I'll write down a phrase. Maybe the first opening set of words, and I'll go over it and over it and over it. It may take me several days, and then I'll add a little bit to it. So I just keep adding a little bit at a time, and pretty soon I've got the verse or the paragraph memorized. But you don't have to memorize it to meditate on it. Like you say, you can put it on a post-it note. You can put it on your shaving mirror or on your makeup mirror. You can put it on the dashboard of your car and just think about it wherever you are. Whatever you're
Let
doing.
It remind you. That is wonderful. Hey, listen, this is Peter Rosenberg. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver, and I'm here with Dr. Robert Morgan. And the book is called Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. This is a practical, encouraging tool right now that you can do in your life as a caregiver to calm your heart down. The whole point is not to feel better about what we're dealing with, but to be better. And this is how we're going to do it. Hey, we'll be right back. 800-688-9522 if you want to join the show. 800-688-9522. We will be right back. Little Earth, Wind, and Fire. Thank you, Count of Mighty Disco.
Well, I got to put the disco in there sometimes.
Yes, you do. Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger bringing you 30 years of failure, so you don't have to. The crash test dummy of caregivers. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. 9522. I talk to so many caregivers who feel guilty about this or whatever. Let me tell you something. I have forgotten more mistakes than you're going to make, so don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. That's what this show is about, is to help grab us all together by the hands. We're going to be strong together. We're going to work through these things together. We're going to lift up our heads and lift up our hearts. And part of that is with my guest today, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, his new book, Robert J. Morgan. He is the teaching pastor out at Donaldson Fellowship, been here for 37 years, and he's also been a caregiver now for over a quarter of a century. He and I are in that way up high atmosphere. We're in the three-decade club, you know, and it's quite a journey. And it just changes the way you pray. It changes the way you approach Scripture. It changes the way you do everything. A lot of you all may know him from his very, very successful hymn series, trilogy called Then Sings My Soul, where he takes these hymns and then he will tell the story behind them. And when I was reading your book on Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, which is what tools that he's learned to help calm himself down as he's a caregiver. But Rob, when I was reading your book, one of the things you did was say, take things like put it on a post-it note. You don't have to go out and try to meditate on the book of Leviticus. I mean, you've taken down in tiny, tiny small steps. And you talked about the word ponder. Well, there's, and I'm going to, John, we're going to test this hymnologist here and see what it is. There's one hymn that comes to mind where they use the word ponder. Do you know what it is?
Oh, let's see.
And is it
And Come Thou Fount?
No.
I don't know. You're too good for me.
Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And that's from Praise Ye the Lord.
Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Oh, that's one of my favorite hymns. Well, I should have known that.
Well, but that's the only hymn I know that uses the word ponder.
Yeah.
And when you wrote that in your book and you said, put it on a post-it note. And so what I did was on a post-it note, I wrote, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And I stuck that over the entrance to as I leave my office every day, I put that on there. And then I've got it going into the kitchen as well. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And that's part of what you're talking about, because you say in here, pick a hymn.
It absolutely is. You can take a phrase of a verse. It says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So you can just take a phrase, renewed day by day, or a portion of that verse. It actually begins by saying, therefore, we do not lose heart. Any phrase out of the Bible is powerful. It doesn't even have to be the entire verse. And I think we need to read the entire passage so that we make sure that we are looking at it in context. I'm a Bible teacher, so I sort of emphasize
exegesis
that.
And hermeneutics.
Yes. But to take a phrase of Scripture, one that has helped me so very much is Proverbs chapter 3, when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. Sometimes if I'm feeling panicky or fearful, I will just repeat that over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it isn't a great passage. It's not a chapter. It's not a book in the Bible. It's just a phrase. But Jesus said that we shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I believe that every word in the Bible has a power to it, and sometimes just a word or a phrase will do to get us through a difficult day or a hard night.
When I love that verse, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And when I speak to the audience, I tell them about that verse. I said, you know why that's in the Bible? Because God knows we lean on our own understanding. He said, don't do it. I said, I've leaned on my own understanding. It took me into some bad places. And some of my best thinking took me into some bad places. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I don't need to. And that brings me to this subject. You wrote in this, and I love this phrase because I've never seen this put down before. I know the phrase, you know, renewing our mind. We've heard that throughout mm-hmm. Scripture. Paul talks about that. But you said, though we are redeemed at Calvary, the process of repairing the mind isn't a one-time event. And I think for us as caregivers, sometimes we feel like our mind is just broken. I mean, we lose it. I mean, at least I do. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I know I do.
Well, and I also use the phrase in the book, rewiring your mind. I think of God sometimes as a master electrician who just needs to get into my mind and rewire my thinking. And I think that happens as we study the Bible and find those phrases that we can grab onto and lean on. With my wife, one of the difficult things we have every day is trying to get her dressed and up and ready for the day. That's a tremendous challenge. And sometimes I get so impatient. I'm waiting and waiting, and she's struggling to, you know, get her arm in the sleeve or her legs in the pants or something. And I'm just standing behind her wheelchair just thinking, I've got so much to do today. This is going to take 20 minutes. But I've memorized that phrase in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. So I'll just start reminding myself, love is patient, love is patient. And it never fails to calm me down a little bit so that I don't get irritable.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one because I am the same way, and Gracie will testify to that. Oh, she'll give a witness on that one. Because I do. I'm juggling about seven balls at one time, and God has seen fit to put me in a situation where it anchors me on this. I have a luxury, you have a luxury, that a lot of people don't have. We have things in our lives that drive us to our knees on a regular basis. Other people have to make the decision sometimes to do it. But in our case, we have the relentless circumstances that this is bigger than us. It's just bigger than us. And that's why this is so powerful. And you make some claims in here about biblical meditation. I wrote some of them down, that it will give peace, hope, help, calmness, composure. All these things that do, and these are all things that we as caregivers need. We are all over the map sometimes, drifting into dangerous waters. And this helps center us back so that we can make better decisions from a calm place. And this is what you talk about in your book.
Yeah. Well, you know the verse, I'm sure you know it, in Isaiah chapter 26, that says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's a matter of getting our mind focused on the Lord. The Bible says we should set our minds on things above, not on things of earth. And Psalm 1 says, blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. They will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. Their leaf also will not wither, and whatever they do will prosper. So being able to meditate on Scripture, to find verses and phrases, to write them down, to make a little notebook, to put them here and there throughout the house, to memorize some of them, to keep them always around us, and to keep going back to them, it does stay our mind and fix our thoughts on things that are above, things that are permanent, things that are solid, and it brings a great deal of peace to us and gives us strength when we need it.
And we do need it. We get frazzled at any given day. One of the things I say about caregivers is, particularly when I go out and speak and on the show here, I don't talk about things that are one and done. For example, I don't go out and teach people how to give injections or things like that, even though I know how to do all those stuff. Or even fighting with an insurance company. Yeah, I know how to do it, but that's a one and done issue. I don't need a refresher course on that. And once I share that with somebody else, they don't need a refresher course on it either. But renewing our mind, that's a daily, minute, I mean, constant refresher course, because there's no end to scenarios that just cause us to pop off. And it's not just at our loved ones. It could be at family members and friends that don't help the way we would want them to, or quite truthfully, the way they should help. Doctors, medical providers, resentments come in, and those resentments, and I heard a great quote that the dangerous part of resentment is that it prohibits us from focusing on today and keeps us bound to the past. I mean, in bondage to the past. Talk about something today. All of us are dealing with resentment at some point in our life. We're going to deal with this and probably deal with it a lot. My goal for caregivers is that when we stand at a grave one day, number one, the goal is for us to stand at it, that we do it without clenched fist. At our loved one, at God, at friends and family, whatever, at ourselves. Somebody today is struggling with that. Tell them about a one verse they can meditate on with dealing with resentment.
Yeah, well, you're very right. I mean, it's very difficult. And the thing about, I think, being a caregiver is, and I'm irritable sometimes, and I get irritable at Katrina's illness, but it's so easy for her to interpret it as I'm getting irritable at her. I'll get frustrated because she can't do something, and And she's frustrated at it, too. And if we aren't careful, we can get angry with one another when we're really not mad at one another, but we have these frustrations that come from her disability. So there are so many verses that help me at times like that. I think the one in Proverbs chapter 15 that says a soft answer turns away wrath is very helpful for me, because that tells me I need to underreact, that when I want to give a harsh answer, I just need to take a deep breath and be gentle in my approach. And the same thing is said in the book of Philippians chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And it's so interesting that the Bible puts that phrase right where it does. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And I have to tell myself to have a gentle answer, to be gentle, because there are times when I just am clenching my fist and trying to relax. But to take a deep breath and let verses like that circulate through your mind. Years ago, when I got very angry at something not related to Katrina or our disability, but something else, I memorized Proverbs 29, verse 11. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And I can't tell you how many times that verse has helped me. When I'm about to fly off the handle, I just remind myself, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, don't go to bed angry. You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. These are verses that I have to preach to myself. You know, I'm a public speaker and a preacher and a pastor, but my main audience sometimes is me. I have to take these verses and preach to myself. The problem that sometimes we have is we listen to ourselves too much and we don't talk to ourselves enough. And so it helps me to talk to myself.
We need to write that one down, John. We listen to ourselves too much, but we don't talk to ourselves enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sometimes we have to pick ourselves up by the collar and slam ourselves against the wall and give ourselves a good talking to, and preach to ourselves.
You know, I was speaking to a group not too terribly long ago, and it was a small group. And one of the I was taking some questions, and one of the questions was this the smallest group you've ever spoken to? And I said, no, the smallest group I've ever spoken to is just one, and that's just me. And I talked to myself, John, don't report me to any mental health professionals.
Way ahead of you.
But I do that to myself, because I do this radio show for myself. My CD that I did for caregivers, the songs for the caregiver, I did it for me. I wrote my book to myself. I have to do this because I have a caregiver amnesia. I have gospel amnesia, and we have to preach this to ourselves.
Yeah, well, I tell people that a lot of my sermons are simply self-therapy sessions that I let other people listen in on.
You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is David at Ziklag, and he strengthened himself in the
yes.
Lord. But the context is, a lot of people don't know this, and this is a verse worth meditating on. David's men were standing around ready to stone him. Mm-hmm. All their wives and possessions had just been hauled off by the Amalekites. And he just, right there in front of everybody, just stopped. Nobody was encouraging him. He did it himself in the midst of great angst.
We have to know how to do that. That is such an important technique. You know, a few chapters before that, David was in trouble again, and it says that Jonathan came and encouraged him in the Lord. But now at Ziklag, Jonathan couldn't get there. No. And there was nobody to encourage David, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And it may have been, I don't know this for sure, but maybe that's when he wrote, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet encourage him who is the help of my countenance and my God. The writer of Psalm 42, where that occurs, was talking to himself. He was addressing himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so upset? Why are you so angry? Why are you so distraught? Hope in God. Go ahead and get your mind back onto the promises and the reality and the providence of God. And so it's very important to learn how to do that.
Lamentations 3. Johnny Erickson shared this with me one time years ago. You know, my soul remembers all the wormwood, the gall, but I recall this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's where that hymn comes from. Thy mercies are new every morning. And, you know, we see it for what it is. We caregivers have 20/20 vision when it comes to the heartache. But we really need some help when it comes to seeing the joy that is there in the midst of this. And that's what this will do. It's Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation by Dr. Robert J. Morgan, who is with us today, 27-year caregiver, and he understands the journey. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're with us. We'll be right back. We got a little bit more to go. Don't go away. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. We're glad to have you back with us. You want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. Just before I came over here to the studio today, I was getting some text from West Africa, from Ghana, where our prosthetic limb outreach is that Standing With Hope does. Standing With Hope is a primary sponsor of this show, and it's the ministry Gracie and I founded many, many years ago, where our flagship program is the prosthetic limb ministry, where we're equipping and training local workers to build limbs for their own people. It's an amazing work, born out of a great sorrow and loss and challenges that Gracie has dealt with as an amputee, a double amputee herself. But that's where great ministry comes from, is you meet Christ where you're wounded. And so she purposed in her heart that she wanted to provide limbs for fellow amputees. And so that's what we've been doing for more than 12 years. And we just sent over a huge shipment of supplies to the prosthetic feet and knees and pylons and screws and adapters. But all of those things were recycled because we have a prosthetic limb recycling program. We get limbs in from all over the country. Call it Operation Footloose. Turn that foot loose so we can recycle it. That's what I call it.
You ham.
I know. Thank you very much. And they go to a local prison here in Tennessee where inmates volunteer to disassemble these legs for us. And it's a great program. And I recently wrote a blog post about it because I was over there at the prison just sitting down with the guys. And in one of those kind of flashbulb moments that you have, I sat down with one of the inmates who told me his story. And he was a caregiver for his wife, who was an amputee. He had my attention at that point. And she started getting very, very sick, but he was also dealing with some medical challenges, and he got on some painkillers dealing with that, and then medicating himself even further with her sickness, he started drinking. And when she died, he went down into an even darker place, and it landed him in prison. Then he heard about our program. And he knew it was the right thing for him. And so he started working over there. They have to volunteer for it, and there's special things they have to qualify for to work in the shop. And he kind of heads – he's the inmate that heads up work and does the most work there. And he's going to be getting out later on this year. We sat down and we talked for a while, and he said, you know, look, I've been sober. I'm clean. I'm dry. And my heart is a lot more centered now. And I understand some things that I didn't understand, and I hate where I am, but I'm glad I'm here, because if I wasn't here, I'd be crawled up into a bottle dead somewhere. And the first thing he's going to do when he gets out is get his wife's prosthetic limb and donate it back to the program so that it can be recycled, the components can be recycled and sent over to West Africa. And this is all happening with our friends at Core Civic. You can find out more about them, corecivic.com. This is one of the many inmate programs that they do, faith-based and so forth. They work with organizations to help make sure these guys don't come back, to give them some encouragement and strength and affirmation and skills and so forth. And the recidivism rate is much lower. And this is an amazing program, and I'm grateful for it. Standingwithhope.com if you want to see the article about this particular inmate. And while you're there, you'll get to see the new song that Johnny, Erickson, Tata, and Gracie have recorded, brand new, and it's out at our website today, and you get to see that. Go take a look at that video. You'll love it. I'm not going to spoil it. Well, I will spoil it. They did Because He Lives, and it is powerful. Listen, I went on a little bit long here in this section right here. Dr. Robert Morgan joined us today, and I'm very grateful. Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation is his new book. Where can people find out more about you?
RobertJMorgan.com. RobertJMorgan.com. Yeah.
And we're going to link to this on the website and also the podcast and so forth. You know, you're a treasure. Thank you for being
here. I'm so happy to be here, Peter. Thank you.
You're going to come back, aren't you?
I would love to come back.
All right. Now, he is the teaching pastor at Donaldson Fellowship. If you don't have a church home and you're in that area or you're not in that area, that's okay. Make the drive. I've been over there. Just a wonderful man who brings a wealth of understanding of the journey of a caregiver, and more importantly, the journey of a redeemed sinner. And that's what we all are working towards in this process. It is a process of sanctification, and these are things that you'll learn in this book, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation, to help you with that. I'm Peter Rosenberger. Thanks for your time. Thank you for this hour, and we'll see you next week.